sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father.
Good morning. Good to be back with y'all this morning. Again, I do appreciate the invitation. Brother Carl asked me if I finally got out of Louisiana. I don't get out much. I really don't, but I do appreciate it. Enjoy the hospitality. Definitely felt the spirit yesterday, and I pray that that continues in through today. I like what the brother said about the congregation's participation doesn't end after song service. And I can't tell you how many times I felt like I was struggling with a message, even getting one going. And sometimes all it takes is hearing an amen or hearing something. I heard a preacher say one time, hearing someone in the congregation say amen is like saying sick them to a dog. I don't know if it's going to have that effect on me this morning, but I do appreciate it. Sometimes, I'm going to tell on my home congregation, sometimes they're a little quiet. And I have to look for head nods and stuff like that to really see if the message is being delivered in a way that the Lord would have it. This morning, I want to look at another familiar story. I was talking to Brother John, and I told him one of my favorite things to do is take a familiar story in the Bible and go through it and point out things that maybe we've overlooked. And I want to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. The story of David and Goliath, and I know Brother David mentioned that towards the end of his message yesterday. And, you know, too often times we love to read, or at least I did, my children, we had a little book that was 365 bedtime Bible stories. And as we tucked our children in every night, I would read them one of those Bible stories. And they're great to get the children interested in the stories of the Bible, because there are a lot of very interesting reads in the Bible. You know, a lot of people say that the Bible is boring and hard to read. Well, if you humble yourself, you can read it for the good stories, but you can also read it for guidance, and you can study it and see things that you've never seen before. And, well, David and Goliath is one of those stories that I think is too oftentimes misrepresented in our children's Bible stories. Because they'll have a little diagram of this little bitty fella there with his little slingshot and his little bitty rock in it, and this giant of a man there, and they're head-to-head, and they're about to fight. And I understand the concept behind that. I understand the thought process, but that's probably not exactly how it looked. To start with, the sling that he had was not your average slingshot. It was a weapon. It was a very well-tried and true weapon. I tried to find the video this past week, but I watched a video one time of a man who was a world champion at the sling. And the video was done to prove whether or not this weapon could actually slay a giant. And so they had a dummy set up, and they had this man over there, and they tested him for accuracy, how many times he could hit the head of that dummy, and what impact it had when it hit. And I was truly amazed at the deadly force that was involved in that sling. If you can find that video, I encourage you to watch it. I want to start out by reading chapter 17, verse 49, and this is where it says, "And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth." Now that's the part of the story that we always focus on. Here's David, and we understand that, you know, the king tried to get him to try on his armor and all that stuff, and he told him, "I haven't tried this armor. I'm not comfortable with it." Not only was it too big for him, but he had not practiced with that armor, right, and with the weapons of someone else. Right. Now, in order for us to truly understand why David was able to accomplish this, and y'all bear with me, because there's multiple reasons. Obviously, God being on his side was the reason he was able to be successful. But there were other things that took place before he came face to face with this giant that made him able to accomplish this task. Also, in the stories that we read, it's almost like little old David, this helpless little boy, just fresh out of diapers. He's just, you know, he doesn't have any experience in anything. He's the only thing he's got going for him is he's brave and he's got God on his side, and that's the reason. They paint this picture in your mind of this helpless little lad going up against this tremendous warrior, okay? And I want to point out some things this morning, and we can use them. I look at this story a lot in my spiritual life, because just like Brother David was saying yesterday, sometimes we have our spiritual giants that we have to fight. We have these things that we have to overcome. Now, I'm going to kind of go backwards in the scripture this morning, and the next verse of scripture I want to look at is verse 32. And I feel comfortable going backwards, because I know y'all have read this story and y'all understand, you know, the process by which he came to the king and all of this. Verse 32, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine." Don't worry about it. I'll go and fight him. Okay? And, you know, there's a scripture that says that, I believe it's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Did David not step up here when nobody else would? You remember the story. All these men, they saw that giant. They're like, "I don't think so. Yeah. I've been fighting battles a long time, but I've never seen an enemy like that. I don't want any part of that." And so day after day after day, nobody would stand in the gap. Little old David comes up. He says, "King, I'll fight your battle. I'll go against this giant." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." You're just a young fella. You've not been in any of these wars that we're seeing right now. And this giant, not only is he huge, but he's been battling since he was little, if he was ever really little. He's been fighting these battles ever since he was young. He's very well trained. "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock." David is giving the king here a little bit of backstory. Yeah. "King, I'm going to tell you why I'm able to go against this giant. I was keeping my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." So see, King, I'm not some little helpless boy. "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he had defied the armies of the living God." King, I have experience in battle. I fought these two wild animals with my bare hands, and I was able to kill them to protect my father's sheep. I'm going to treat this giant just like one of those wild animals. He knew he had experience. He knew he had been to battle, even though it wasn't the same kind of battle. Was it not a proper training for the battle that he was about to face?
Yeah.
In my life, we talked about this some last night. It's amazing when you get three or four preachers together how much they have in common. We were talking about jobs last night and different situations that we faced. And I shared part of my story. And when I look back, I see how God prepared me well before losing my job. He prepared me years in advance for a battle that from my standpoint was a huge battle. You know, you go from a really good paying job. You know, I worked for the company for 26 years. They call me in. They tell me they're ending my employment. And so you go from a well-paying job to a no-paying job. And you know, my wife's a teacher, so she's not getting rich. But when I was face to face with the battle, I was not worried. I knew because of my preparations spiritually, I had been praying, Lord, put me where you want me. I saw changes coming in the workplace. I knew things were shifting. I knew, you know, that I'm not picking on any of you young ones in here, but sometimes us older ones kind of get pushed out as the new generations come in, and I understand that. It's all business. You can hire somebody new and save a few dollars by pushing someone that's been there for a while out. But I had been praying so hard for God to put me where He wanted me, and I was specific to say not where I want to be. And when I came face to face with that battle, and I heard those words, we've decided to end your employment, I was at peace. It didn't mean I didn't grieve for a while, but I understood, God, you have prepared me for this. I'm not going to go into my whole story, but there was preparations that God put on my heart for me to do, work for me to do, to prepare for that situation. You see, God, through these wild animals, was preparing David for something that he would face down the road. I'm convinced that every time that we go through a hardship, every time we face a problem, it's God preparing us for something else.
Yeah.
My wife and I talk a good bit about the loss that our family has, and I mentioned it yesterday. You know, all my parents are gone, my step-parents, my grandparents, and it's easy to get sad when you start thinking about the loss. And my wife told me one time, she said, you know, maybe the Lord allowed this to happen so that you could help others that go through this same situation. And I agree 100%, but I was thinking, well, couldn't he have just taken one? You know, that old natural mind comes back and is like, you know, I'm not prepared for that. But God prepares us for battles that we can't imagine winning.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday I talked about thinking about something in a natural sense versus thinking about it in a spiritual sense. When we look at our daily battles in a natural sense, that's when we start getting depressed and we start worrying and we start struggling with all these things in our lives. How am I going to do this? This is never going to work. And I had that when I lost that job. How am I going to, you know, we had plans to build a house. We had all these natural plans that we wanted to do. How are we going to accomplish any of that? And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. The Lord told me, He said, I remember thinking, Keith, your blessings came from God. They did not come through your employer. They came through your employer, but they did not come from your employer. I didn't have to have that job to be blessed, even financially. The first 2 years after I lost my job, we were able to save more financially than we had ever saved in our lives. And I was starting my own business, trying to get it built up, so I'm still not making what I was making then. But the Lord is shining bright in my life. That battle that I thought, there's no way we can accomplish our dreams if I don't have that job. Well, we don't have our house yet, but we have the dirt work done, and we're almost completely debt-free. The Lord has truly blessed.
Amen.
But He prepared me ahead of time. And I'm thankful that I was spiritual enough to recognize that when He put it on my heart, Brother Keith, you need to make some changes in your financial status. You need to change the way you spend. You need to get out of debt. And we worked hard on that, and we did it. Just like here, when he fought these animals, he was preparing for something to come. And David, verse 37, "And David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto him, Go, and the Lord be with thee." He's like, the Lord provided what I needed to overcome these two wild animals. He will do the same for this next battle that I'm facing. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded the sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." Saul, I understand these are your weapons and your shields and all this stuff, and you feel comfortable with them, but I just don't feel comfortable with them. We cannot fight our own battle with someone else's armor.
Amen.
And we sure can't fight it without the armor of God.
Amen.
And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Now, I know there's analogies like crazy over what these 5 stones represent. But what I want to concentrate on this morning is the fact that he chose out 5 smooth stones. One of the videos I watched this week trying to find the one that I wanted, it talked about the different stones that are used in a sling. And what this verse proves to me is that David was a master with this sling.
That's right.
He knew which stones would fly straight. He knew which ones would fly the fastest and have the most impact. He knew the stones. He picked the stones that he was most comfortable slinging.
That's right.
I remember when I was little, my grandmother had an upholstery shop. And I would find the little strips of material that she would use on the edge of cushions and stuff. And I would cut me a piece, and I would fold it in half, and I'd put me a rock in it. And I would go out there, and I would throw that rock. Now, I never practiced hitting a target. I just like to see how far I could throw it. And it amazed me how far that rock would go. And in the video that I watched, it talked about the shape, and it talked about the density, and how important it was. If you were going to try to be accurate with it, you had to know which rocks to choose, which stones to choose. And this shows me that there was no doubt in my mind that David was experienced enough with this that he knew exactly which weapons to take. He knew to take his sling because he had used that sling. How many times do you think he used his sling to protect his father's sheep?
Yeah.
Probably hundreds or thousands. This video I watched this week, the guy had been practicing, I forget if it was several months or a year, and he talked about how many times out of 5 he could hit a head-sized target, and then at a certain distance, and then how much further back, and how his accuracy dropped a little bit. And I thought, well, you know, if this guy's only been doing this for, I think it was a few months, actually, if he's only been doing this a few months, and he's already hitting 3 out of 5 on a regular basis, how accurate could David have been? You know, we hear of sharpshooters and marksmen today. He was most likely an ace with that sling. He probably hardly ever missed because he understood the importance of that weapon. You see, we have to understand the importance of our weapons too. Our greatest weapon is God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That is absolutely our best. But you know, we have the scripture that was brought up last night about temptation. We have to know what works for us. When I face a temptation, it may be different than when Brother John or Brother Carl faces a temptation. You know, my temptation may be a little bit different. Satan knows what tempts us.
Oh, he does.
He knows our weak spots. He knows what we are attracted to. So we have to make sure that we have our weapons and we know how to use them. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. Not only was he young, he was probably what we would call today a pretty boy. He was a cute little fella. Right? Didn't look mean. Didn't look like he was ready to go to war. And can you imagine being a tremendous giant facing even an average opponent? You'd be like, really? This is who you're going to send to fight me? But all of a sudden, this little young fella comes up, little pretty boy, comes up, and he's got this little sling and his little rocks in his hand, and he's going to fight me? He couldn't see past the flesh, could he?
That's right.
He couldn't see the spirit that David was working with. All right, I want to back up again over to chapter 16. Verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Now we know who he's talking about, right? Then answered one of them servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, which means courageous. Now listen to this next part. And a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Why would he be called a man of war? Why would this little boy, this little pretty boy, be referred to as a man of war? Because the people that knew him knew there was more to him than just a little pretty boy. They knew he had been very protective of his father's sheep. They knew he had been, I'm not sure at this point, he had probably already been to battle with these wild animals. He had obviously proved himself to someone, right? I mean, I wouldn't call anybody a man of war unless I saw some battle in them, some ability. Now, I want to back up one more time. Let's back up to verse 10. And Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. Jesse, you've sent your strongest, your most athletic. But I don't feel like the Lord has chosen any of these for the task that is coming. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all of your children? Have you sent all of your children to me? Because I'm sure it's one of your children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Go ahead, bring your youngest son here. Let's check him out. Let's see. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. Again, a little pretty boy. Don't even look like, he probably didn't even look like he'd been out in there with a sheep. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. You see, the greatest preparation for the battle that David was going to face was being anointed of God. Yes, he had all these natural abilities that are so often overlooked in the readings that we see, especially in the children's books. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. One of my favorite studies that we've done on Wednesday night is we did study the life of David. And it was amazing to me how many times David sought the Lord before he acted. Was David perfect? No. He did some mighty sinful things several times in his life. But as you're reading the story, when he's being chased by Saul, and there was a couple of times he could have ended Saul's life, and he asked the Lord, "Lord, do you want me to end his life now? Is this what you want me to do?" And he didn't feel like that was what the Lord wanted, so he backed off. Several times in battle, he said, "Lord, do you want me to go in and destroy these people? Is this what you want me to do?" And the amazing part about it, something that we often forget to do, he waited for the answer.
Yeah.
"Lord, I'm standing here over Saul. You want me to kill him now?" Most of us, especially in that situation, he was trying to kill David anyway. I mean, it would have been self-defense. Most of us would have just acted on it, right?
Yeah.
But David has such great wisdom, being anointed of the Lord. And I love the way it says that. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And you can follow through David's life time after time after time. You remember that one point he knew he had gotten away from God. And he said, "Lord, just do whatever. I just need you back. Lord, punish me however you want to punish me. But I need you." Now let's look at this story from a spiritual sense. I believe David was very spiritual. I believe just the fact that he asked for God's guidance in so many different things, that shows how spiritual he was. He wasn't worried about getting Saul out of the way so he could become a king. He wasn't worried about that. He's like, "Lord, I know I'm anointed in your time.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do right now?" Why don't we seek God's guidance more often than we do? Why don't we seek His guidance in the small things?
Amen.
You know, I don't think God cares if I drive a Chevy or a Ford or a Dodge or whatever. I don't think God cares. But you know, I still seek Him when I get ready to make a purchase.
Amen.
"Lord, give me wisdom to make the right choice." You know, in my business, I rely heavily on the Lord. And I know that may sound funny from somebody that does a little woodworking out of his little home shop. But I go back to what I was saying earlier. I realized that my blessings were coming through my employer, but not from my employer. And so now I say, "Lord, send me the right customers. Lord, show me how to honor you in what we do." Did you know you can honor God in just about everything you do?
Yes, you can.
And when I pray, "Lord, how can I honor you in what we do?" I'm very blessed. One of our deacons works for me part-time. I have a young guy right out of school that's working for me, at least until he gets through with his trade school. And he's a very godly young man. He's Southern Baptist. He's just a good kid. And I'm very blessed to have that. And the number of times that a customer comes and we get talking about this or that, it's so humbling for me to see God working in my business. And I ask him all the time, Lord, how can I honor you? How can I honor you? And something keeps coming to mind every time I ask that. Everything you do, do it as to the Lord. And so when we send a piece of furniture out of that shop, I tell my customers, you have any problems with this, you bring it back here. I don't care if it's 30 years from now. If I need to replace a board on your swing, you bring it here and we will fix it. No questions asked. I believe that's honoring God. Because I want to do everything to the best of my ability. I want to treat others like I expect to be treated. If I was selling something to the Lord, that's the way I look at it. If Jesus himself, and you know, supposedly he was a carpenter, and I'd hate to know that I sold him one of my swings and he got to looking at it real close, but that's kind of the way I approach it. Everything I do, I want it to be just right. That way when somebody looks at our business, they say, you know what, they will not cheat you. And you know that's a battle today. You know there's ways I could cut corners and make more money and put more money in my pocket. And that's a battle a natural man has to face. I could put little brad nails in here instead of screws. I could save a lot of time and a lot of money. But would that be pleasing to God? If I knew I could do it better and I didn't, would that be pleasing to God? I don't think it would be. And so as we see David, as he progresses through life, and he's continually asking, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? That's a constant reminder to me to continue to ask God, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, a couple of weeks ago, it's been about a month or two ago, and I kind of got down on myself. Business had slowed in the shop, and my workers, I was worried about keeping them paid and everything, and then it hit me again. Brother Keith, the Lord has blessed you all the way up to here. Is there a limit to God?
No.
Does he say, I'm going to bless my children until this day? And you know, I was having myself a little pity party. What am I going to do? How am I ever going to build this house? How am I ever going to accomplish our natural dreams? But you know, it may be the Lord's will that I not build a house. I don't know. But I want to seek His guidance in it. I want to say, Lord, if you want me to do this, show me how to do it. But you know, maybe I'm wrong here, but the Lord never just says, here you go. At least He doesn't for me. He says, Brother Keith, here's a way for you to accomplish that. You see, I have to do my part.
Right.
David had to do his part, right? He didn't just stand there and God strike that Philistine dead. He had put in preparation. Even though he didn't know what the battle was, he had put in all this preparation ahead of time. He had fought those wild animals. He had, for some reason, been called a man of war. And even though he was, you know, a nice-looking little young fella, he was still prepared for the battle. And the key is being prepared for a battle that you don't know is coming. I didn't know I was going to lose my job. I was convinced that I was going to be moved. I was preparing for that. You know, one of the positions that was open was a project manager position. I had managed projects for them before when they needed somebody. I had experience with the job. Like I said, I'd been there 26 years. My attendance record was perfect. I never complained about money. It only made sense for me to move into that position. But you see, God had different plans. One thing that I learned is when I was praying for, Lord, put me where you want me, you better be ready to be where you didn't expect to be. Never in a million years Even 10 years ago, if you'd have told me I'd have been preaching, I would have laughed at you. I don't know what I'd have done, but I would not have believed a word you said. Because, and we talked about this last night, I don't consider myself a good speaker at all. Matter of fact, you ought to see some of the letters that I wrote my wife while we were dating. She was big in English. Okay? And I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't have a red pen and was circling and doing all this. But she laughs at me all the time, but the words I misspelled and all these things. And I've never been a great speaker. And I've never liked crowds. And when I felt the call of the ministry, I'm like, Lord, you've got to have the wrong person. I felt like Moses. I'm not a good speaker. Send somebody else. Let them do the talking and all this. But then I got to looking back at my job. What I learned in my job through the years prepared me to speak a little better. I still don't speak real good, but I do a lot better than I once did. And I see all these different events that took place in my work life that prepared me even for my ministry, but especially for my own business. And so I think back to the story of David, and I think all those little things that took place in his life, one after another, that seemed insignificant at the time, but when they're all compiled together, and he's standing before this giant, was he afraid? He could have been intimidated a little bit. I mean, I would have been. Even if I was a professional man of war. I mean, when your enemy is that big and that huge and just well armed and had somebody carrying a shield for him and daring anybody to come and try to kill him. But when he said, the God that delivered me from those wild animals will deliver this Philistine into mine hands, I believe he said that with faith, knowing that anybody that comes against the God of Israel would not be successful. And I believe in that moment that David knew that God was using him to accomplish something. I believe God uses us to accomplish things in this world.
He does.
I have had conversations with people that I had never met, that the conversations that I needed at that moment. Let's remember, I feel like I'm short again today, but when we see these stories and we see these little illustrations of how the world presents godly characters, let's go and read those stories and really get the truth behind them, because there's so much more. God's Word shows so much more about David than any cartoon or any children's book will ever show us. And just the fact that this little, and I tried to figure out one time exactly how old he would have been. Any of y'all pastors ever researched about how old you think he would have been? The one number that kept coming up was 15. I don't know. But he was a young fellow, and in a natural sense, unprepared. But when you really start looking at what God had done in his life, before that event, he was probably more prepared than anybody in the army at that time. Mm-hmm. Any of the soldiers. If nothing else, the faith that he had in his Lord delivering him out of that battle. So let's take that home with us today. Whatever battle it is we're taking, some of us have natural battles. You know, with diseases, I heard cancer this morning, and that's near and dear to my heart because I've lost my mother, my stepmother, and my father-in-law is just going through prostate cancer. So, you know, that's a very real battle. And I can't tell you how much of a impact those battles have on your life. But let's keep God in those battles. David, he could have said, you know what, y'all, I got this. I'm an ace with this sling. There's no way I'm going to miss. I don't even have to get close enough to him for him to come at me. I'll stand way back here. I'll sling it, and I'm going to get him on the first shot. He never said that. He could have. As a natural person, he could have, and many of us probably would have. But he took a different approach. He said, God will deliver him into my hands. God can deliver our battles into our hands. And sometimes those battles end in ways that we didn't expect or we didn't want. My prayer for my mother when she got cancer was I prayed for healing. I was naturally praying for her to be healed. When my aunt walked out of her bedroom and said she's gone, I had a feeling of peace come over me that I've never experienced before. He had answered my prayer to a far greater answer than what I was wanting. Mm-hmm. Even though my natural thoughts were, oh my gosh, my mom's gone, he still answered my prayer. And that, even though that answer was in natural death, it was a spiritual victory. I appreciate y'all's time. Again, I'm sorry I couldn't be here last year. We had made plans to be here, and that week we got double exposed to COVID and just felt like we didn't want to take a chance with anyone. I am going to have to leave shortly after this service. Brother John, y'all been great hosts. It was good to see Brother Carl and the ministers that were here yesterday. Y'all don't know this, but y'all have I have tremendous respect for y'all and Brother Freddie, Brother Don Ferris, Brother Joe, Brother Dub, Brother Jesse. Y'all, that group was instrumental in getting our church where we are today. And just to give you a little brief story here, our church was constituted in 1916. We broke off from the Bethel Primitive Baptist Church in Ringgold. There was a split. I don't even know what it was all about. For years, there was no fellowship. In the early 50s, the Jamestown Church added a piano to their service, which pushed us over to the progressive side of fellowship. Our doctrine never changed. And so when we were without a pastor for several years, Brother Joe reached across that line and said, hey, we have a visiting preacher here on Fifth Sunday, yet we would love for y'all to come and worship with us. Well, their church sent the letter, but Brother Joe was behind it. And so that Sunday, Fifth Sunday, we went and we worshiped with New Providence Primitive Baptist Church in Ringgold. The next day, their church burned down. I was standing out there under the trees with them after the firefighters got everything out. And I told them, I said, y'all have a preacher and y'all don't have no building. We have a building and no preacher. We'd love for y'all to come and preach. They did. The fellowship was ignited. We got support from Brother Carl, all these other preachers. And the reason I say that is our church had been fighting a battle, a spiritual battle. Do you know how many churches can survive 3 or 4 years without a pastor? A small church like ours? We were faithful. Every Sunday we met, every Sunday one of the deacons, one of us stood up and read some scripture. I never will forget the first time that I had to do that. Two of us were going to do the service that day. I had 4 pages of notes. I got up there 10 minutes later, I was done. I was like, this is not for me. But the Lord was in it. The Lord pricked our hearts. We prayed heavily about it. Last year, the Jamestown Church met in conference and voted to start worshiping with New Providence every other week. I didn't know it, but that same Sunday, word had gotten to Providence that what we were doing, that same Sunday, they voted for the same thing. So one Sunday we'd worship with them, next Sunday we'd worship with us. 8 or 9 months ago, both churches came in, a same building, both churches went into conference, voted to merge congregations as one congregation, merge all assets, merge all pastors, deacons, everything, and become one church. And I don't think that would have happened had it not been for preachers from Arkansas. I'll give you Arkansas credit. We're from Louisiana, but y'all were instrumental in the things that happened in our church. And the Lord was leading the way.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that from the bottom of my heart. I know the Jamestown and Ringgold congregations are thankful for it. And many of the churches, you know, had to give up their pastor for a week or out of the month or something while all this was taking place. But it's been a blessing. That is a battle that the Lord was in, and the church, the true church, came out on top. And I'm thankful for that. Lord bless y'all.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me?
Sing His word.
Sing His word.
The saints in glory.
The saints in glory.
Gathered by
the crystal sea.